Well, good morning and welcome. I know I've had a wonderful time already, spending time with you. And I'll just be honest. A lot of you know I'm a feeler. And my heart hurts. Just knowing there's a sister here that is hurting. 'Cause I know her heart. She loves those dear people that are being bombed, dying, almost helpless. So thank you for being here, Lisa. I don't know all you're going through. But I care. And then I'm supposed to share on relationships now. When there's been separation that had happened. So I want to be careful. So we'll continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount, getting closer to the end. We're going to look at Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12. And this, I shouldn't be amazed, but it seems God does that, is Thursday when I gave Cheryl the title, I thought I knew what the golden rule was going to be. I thought it was going to be the golden rule. But it's not. And so we praise the Lord. We keep going. It doesn't have to go our way. Jesus is building a foundation here. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. From what I gather here, now he's changing it in saying, or, now we'll just bring it out a different way. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. I may first point out that the ask, seek, and the knock is in the present tense. It's a continual. It's not this once and done. It's a continual. It's a lifestyle. So it could be, keep asking and you shall be given to, and it shall be given to you. Keep seeking and you shall find. Keep knocking and it shall be opened to you. Because God wants us to continually persevere in prayer. So if your desire is that to live a righteous life, we must pursue God. Continually. And you also remember in the beginning with the Beatitudes, it was also, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is also a continual hungering and thirsting, and it's a continual filling. It's just, that's our lifestyle. It should be our lifestyle. That's who we are. And you cannot be righteous by being passive. It just doesn't automatically happen. And also, maybe, I think what Jesus is teaching here, I'm not saying we don't ask for objects. I'm not saying we don't ask for wisdom on buying a car or whatever. I'm not saying we don't ask those things. I think what he's saying here, and I'm being more focused on a relationship, is asking and seeking and knocking for the character qualities of true righteousness. That's what we that's what we should be pursuing when we go to God. Because when an object is given, it's the end of it. It's accomplished. But this, for the character qualities of righteousness, we continue to grow. It's never ending. We continue to seek. We continue to ask and knock, and that we want to grow more and more in his righteousness. And that's a continual, that's what I see happening here. And I'm just building a foundation again for coming to the golden rule then. I guess I'll just mention it. You can actually do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and lose a relationship. Illustration. You see, I didn't ask my wife. My wife likes a foot massage, okay? I don't. So if I would just do unto her as I wouldn't give her a foot massage. Understand where I'm getting at. So, and if I want to bless my wife, that's what I can do. And she feels loved. Okay, so it's not always that the relationship will thrive if we just do unto them as I would want to be treated. Does that make sense where I'm going with this? It takes something deeper. That's what God showed me. It'll take something deeper to actually be the golden rule. And then he gives us the illustration of the bread and the fish. And it was interesting. The bread they used to have, from what I see in history, is more kind of shaped like a stone. Small and just kind of shaped like a stone. This boy, where Jesus fed 5,000 men plus children and women, that boy had 5 loaves. Now, he wouldn't have these big loaves, I don't think, for his lunch that we have. There are smaller loaves, and he had those 2 fish. So that brought a picture to me is, okay, you could almost fool a child by putting a stone there, and if it looked like that loaf, they thought it was bread. And so what I sense he's saying is, we who are evil, what he says, in our nature, we don't trick our children. When they're hungry, we feed them. We don't trick them. Well, God's not going to trick us either. He's faithful. It may not be what I think it should be, but he is faithful. It's always for my good. We'll get to that. But then the fish and the serpent, in Leviticus 11:12, I think it is, it says that they're not to eat anything that does not have fins or scales. And so if he asks for a fish, see, the serpent or the snake does not have the fins. So you would not feed your children anything that is unclean. It just kind of made sense. That's how God is. He's not going to give us anything that will cause us to become spiritually unclean. I just see when we come asking and seeking, we come seeking for the right things that will enhance us and will build the characteristics of righteousness in us. I guess I'm going to talk a little bit to the children now. I don't know how many of you know where the golden rule, I mean, I just read it, but if you would know, if I had to ask before I read, if you would know where the golden rule is. So I'm going to give you an easy way to remember where the golden rule is. So how often should we practice the golden rule? Should it be every day? Then we should say yes. It should be every day. So how many days are there in a week? There's 7, okay? And then how many months are there in a year? So there would be 12. So if you go into the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12, is where you'll find the golden rule. Just a little illustration form to it can help to remember where it's found. And Jesus said it just a little bit differently than what we do. It's Matthew 7:12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That "do also to them" was actually based on a common saying. I found it interesting that this is actually kind of like a, before he said, you know, it has been said in the days of old, la-da-da, and then, but I say unto you, this is kind of what he's doing again. It was a common saying amongst many Jewish thinkers as well as Greek philosophers that actually goes back to the most ancient of literature. However, they had stated it in a negative form. Some way. Anyway, do not do to others what you do not want done to you. Okay, that's what I did. Sorry. It was right. Comparing there. Do not do unto others what you do not want done to you. And the Hindus, this is the sum of duty. Do not to others which, if done to thee, would cause thee pain. Actually, there's a whole list of them, so I just got a couple of them. And the Buddhists, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. And here was the interesting Hebrew literature. What is hateful to you, do not to your fellow men. That is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. And so that's where I think that's where Jesus also brought in, for this is the law and the prophets. And Jesus is just replacing the emphasis as a positive obligation rather than on the negative. Just don't, you, in fact, it will, just a new thought. When Jesus said that, love your enemies and you do good to those, that's what he's actually kind of reiterating. We do good to those, not just don't do bad things. No, we turn it around and we start doing good to those. So that is where, I'm a little behind on my PowerPoint, is where the comparison is. And when we are filled with the Spirit and are walking in the Spirit, we will fulfill this command. So how can I say that we will? Let's look at the fruit. And remember, this is the fruit, not the fruits. It is various attributes of that fruit. So it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And it says, against such, there is no law. So when we're walking in the Spirit, this is the fruit we bear. And we bear the fruit because of God's goodness. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It boils down to him. That's why I say the just doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, that you can muster, you know, you can discipline yourself and you can be doing all these right things. But if it's not in the Spirit and if it's not in that love, it's vain. So what is God's goodness? Let's consider what he's done. I'm still coming up to just to maybe melt us and mold us. Let's consider what God has done for us. We were dead in our sins. And God's standard is impossible to meet. And we were without hope. Yet God loved us so much that he sent his only son to come to this corrupt world. Then he lived this sinless life to show us the way. Died in our place. Paid our penalty for our sin. He had died, then he rose again the third day to give us power over death. And to give us power over sin. Because of that, we now have hope. We can be righteous, or we are made righteous. We're justified. And Jesus offers us salvation, not just from hell, but it's sin today. He brought salvation that we're no longer under that bondage of sin. We have victory over sin. That's the goodness of God. And if you want to destroy a relationship, live in sin. I'll guarantee you to do it. And when we can truly analyze this, and it truly becomes a part of us, we become changed people. And our text is really a reflection of God's grace. And he grants us our requests only because of his goodness. And he changes us and enables us to live in this new way by his Spirit. It's a new rule, a positive rule based in love to treat others with good just as God has treated us. So maybe we could say, do unto others as God has done unto you. Maybe that would be a better rule to go live by. Because see, whatever he does for us is for our good. You know, I don't like trials. I'll be honest, I don't like them. However, when God allows us to go through these trials and go through these tough times, these times that almost flip your boat, if we can just believe, it's for my good. It's for my good. It's to bring me more closer to him, to draw me closer to him, and to become more like him, to grow my character, growing in more righteousness and more holiness. That's the purpose. It's for our good. And if we can see that in our relationships, that when there is a little bit of a disagreement or whatever, that it doesn't destroy our relationship. Let that be what draws us closer yet. And how will we do this? Let's walk in the Spirit. So that is the golden rule of relationships, is walk in the Spirit. Because Paul said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're going to be doing the right things in that relationship, in that friendship. And we can't walk in the Spirit without being enveloped in Jesus Christ. I am in him and he is in me. When we're enveloped, he baptizes us with fire and the Holy Spirit. And then that is when we walk in the Spirit. And in that, we are righteous, holy, and just. In that position. That's the key to our relationships. Even our relationship with God. That's the key. And he will enable us to do unto others as he has done unto us. I'm convinced that relationships fail because of a moment that we choose to walk in the flesh. It takes walking in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for teaching us your ways. Thank you, Father, for your kindness and goodness. Oh God, we can truly say, you are good. You are so good. Forgive us when we grumble and complain. And Father, replace that with a heart of gratitude, that we are so grateful for your goodness and that we walk in that goodness, that we walk in your Spirit, so that our relationships would not fail. And Father, our relationships are failing. In your word it says that it is you who works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So I just pray that you would work in those hearts. That they have the will to change. That they would have the desire to repent, possibly. Because we know that where there is sin, relationships fail. And Father, you know the hearts, and only you can change the hearts. So we trust you, Lord. Oh, Father, just bless each one here. Bless the guests that are here. And Father, forgive me for not welcoming them. I was so wrapped up in my emotions. But Father, may you make them feel welcome here. So yeah, bless them. Keep each one of us in your care. We trust you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.